The following podcast is given a universal rating. Yippee! Podcast. Minutes of help for those who need it. Episode 0. Pilot Podcast. Minutes start at the fourth stroke.
Hello there. Welcome to this pilot podcast, a episode zero, if you will, to find out whether there is enough interest from the public, listeners, viewers of a website, to find out whether I should do more in the future, find out whether people like my style. This is an initial setup, so people can say, oh, I didn't like this bit, can you cut it out? I like this bit, can you do more of it? And basically the idea of this is to find, is for me to introduce a topic to everyone that is easily misunderstood or just not known that well. I've been told that I'm a very good teacher and pretty much good at explaining things, so I thought I'd benefit you all. The idea is that I do the explaining in hopefully simple, nice, easy to understand language for 15 minutes. I've given myself a 15 minute limit because it means I don't ramble on for too much and I shouldn't be too vague on what I say neither. I'm GGU Draco. I am a, how to put it, second year chemist, although I finished my second year at the moment, at the University of Surrey in Guildford. I'm usually the one who's considered the class joker, but then we have someone who's officially that. I'm more the person who's the recluse and does most of the effort, does way too much effort to get something done, often to my problem. Okay, I'm more into the scientific and computational side of things, as you can see. So if you're expecting more common things like the whole history of the offside rule in football, you're not really going to be in for a treat. However, I will explain, though, nice and quickly, that the offside rule is where a striker cannot go closer to the goal than two of the opposing team's defenders. Basically, it's a way of ensuring that a striker can't goal hang, and you know, all you have to do is just pass the ball to him, boom. All there is just striker, goalkeeper, and goal. You get a hell of a lot more goals and much higher scores if you didn't have the offside rule. So it's a way of stopping cheating, if you will. But I am not here to explain the offside rule. I absolutely suck at football. The main topic for this podcast is how do you go about making one? Because that's what I'm doing at the moment. I'm making one. Surely, impoverished student here, just stuck with a pair of headphones with a little microphone spinning off it. Not much. It doesn't require all that much effort, so it should be explained in 15 minutes, and it should be available to everyone. Okay, something to explain is, why do you want to make one in the first place? Why can't I just do a radio broadcast? Just go on Windows Media Encoder and give everyone your server, your IP address. Okay, you can do a podcast whenever you like, instead of setting a time and a day every week to do one. It's definitely a benefit, because I can tell for one thing, schedules change, shit happens. You can download your podcast at any time. It's not limited to, say, 1 hour a week if you were doing a radio broadcast, and also it's easier to do in terms of money. You don't have to pay for bandwidth created when loads of people are trying to listen to your radio service at one moment in time, at one day of the week. You can have a small stream of data throughout the week instead, which means lower costs, lower server strain if you're someone who owns a server. Also, the recipient won't lose chunks of data if they lag behind. On a sort of more lovelier note, they can archive it if they really love it, and that's a good thing. In some cases, you can make a mistake and go, oh dear, stop, rewind, re-record, just edit the podcast file. It's all done and dusted. The problem is that it's not live, so if anyone makes a request to you, it will be delayed until the next podcast. And it does also involve you having to have drive space to hold your podcast before publishing it. And also it does involve a bit more tweaking than if you were just doing a radio broadcast, but not really that much tweaking. How do you get about to doing a podcast? Okay, let's get an idea of what your podcast is about, because there's no point making one if you haven't got a reason for doing one. For me, it's explaining stuff. It's putting my talents to good use. If you're going to put music in it, which you can, find out what genre you're going to use. Genres are, you know, rock, pop, ska, anything you like. Best thing to do is be unique, don't be the same as others, and you should get a decent audience. Secondly, is going to involve a bit more knowledge. You are going to have to know or have a good idea of how MP3 encoding works, if you will, OGG encoding, but generally MP3. Because it's all the same and it's all downhill from there. With MP3 encoding, you need to know two things: what bitrate you would like to work best in, and what sampling frequency. I haven't got enough time to explain it, but if you'd like me to, I can dedicate a podcast, if I ever do a series, to how it works. You've got the sampling frequency and the Nyquist theorem. If you are doing something with music, and it's just mostly going to involve music, like you doing a top 10 countdown of a week, 128 kilobits per second as a bitrate would be your best one. It's the common one that's used for MP3s that you just double-click on and listen to anyway. That's, if you like, of a higher quality. If you are actually going to keep your audience in mind, and the fact that they're going to wait ages to download your podcast, 96 kilobits per second is sufficient enough. And good for everybody. If it's going to contain mostly speech like this one, but has a little bit of music on the side, consider 64 kilobits per second. You get a good voice and you get good enough music just for that small moment that you're going to put it in. If it's all speech and talk radio, then 48 is all you are going to need, since the human voice is only a tiny little bit of an audio spectrum of the universe, so you only need 48. The other thing to think about is the sampling frequency. You have music on a CD is 44.1 kilohertz, and it's considered a standard, but you can go downwards. You've got 44 kilohertz or 32 if you want music all the way. If it's music and speech, you can go with 24, and if it's going to contain all speech, then 11 is all you need, since the human voice usually goes through a bandwidth of 4. But 11 is all you need, and it's perfect. As your bit rates and frequencies go down, your final file size will get shorter, but the quality will go down. Eventually, it will sound like a very bad telephone conversation, which is fine for speech, since speaking on a telephone is fine enough, you can understand and everything, but music, it is going to sound quite distorted. Another thing is getting a title song. The Creative Commons license, remember that, Creative Commons license, is there to offer you a whole heap of music that you can play off the Internet Archive, which is archive.org. You can even use this music for commercial value, but when you do search for the music, find out whether you can. So long you put the artist's name and the track and the album somewhere prominent, then you should be able to use it wherever you like, whenever it's commission free, thumbs up. This one is Insomnia by Delvey, and it was more of a personal choice on myself because it sounded electronic, but not too electronic to be silly. After you have your title music, one more thing you have to learn is simple controls of an audio editing suite. Audacity is the best one to do. Google Audacity, A-U-D-A-C-I-T-Y, and as soon as you learn the controls, which will only take you about an hour or so, and that's just loads of play, then it's downhill from there on. It's not too powerful at all to be scary, and it's not too powerful to be a pain. If you're worried about using Audacity, use Sound Recorder, which comes bundled with Windows 95 onwards. But do know that you only get to record for 60 seconds. If you've got some trickery, you can do it for 2 minutes. But in the end, it is a good tool to experiment with playing with different codecs, sampling frequencies and bit rates. One thing to remember, however, if you are going to use Sound Recorder, you are probably only going to have an MP3 codec, which is MPEG Layer 3, which only goes up to 24 kHz and 64 kilobits per second. This is Fraunhofer's free MP3 codec. They expect you to pay for higher ones. However, not all is lost. You can get the LAME MP3 codec. Just Google LAME, L-A-M-E, and MP3. And it should be all downhill from there. 48 kHz and 320 kilobits is your limit, which is more than enough. You'll have the same options as you have for the earlier MPEG Layer 3. And if you plan on using Audacity, it is a requirement for exporting to MP3s. Another thing is get a microphone, the most obvious thing of all. Get a voice and speak. Play. Whatever you do, for however long you want to do it. Keep mistakes in, wipe them out. Don't worry about your voice being terrible, however. Mine's all lispy and popping, and you've got Jalen Tomlinson from the C64 Takeaway, who's Danish, so he sounds very Central European, and this pitch swaying all over the place. I find it more natural and respectable, so go ahead, play to your heart's desire. Don't go too long as to make one huge, long, boring podcast. There's three ways you can go in recording your podcast. There's all-in-one take, like the C64 Takeaway and RetroBits, where you're just perfect and you just go ahead. You can have speech in the studio, all-in-one take. When I say studio, I just mean bedroom, living room, whatever. But outside audio and special effects will be done in post-production, as you do, pops and whistles and squeaks. Most professional and popular podcasts are done in this way, obviously. And you've got sound bites and many takes in the studio, and it only becomes one complete podcast when you've done it in post-production. It's wise to make notes too before you press record. I've got some. It helps you to know when to say when, and it prevents some of these annoying sounds we make when talking naturally. When you're done, you encode it to MP3, click click, and then decide what to do with it. There are three ways. Use your own website. It's got its own space. Pros are that you control everything. You customize it to your own desire. The problems are eventually people are going to love your podcast and the disk space will be exhausted, particularly if it's a free server and you will have to pay subscription fees. For those who pay anyway or they have their own server, this is probably your best course of action. Have a paid podcast service. This is easiest and the best way to go. There are many. You've got Libsyn, L-I-B-S-Y-N, and Jellycast, obvious spelling, for the most popular choices, and a one-time only fee for joining, or a small donation for each month that you join. These are good value for money, and if you do want to take your podcasting very seriously, they do offer an RSS feed, where people who like your podcast can attach a feed to their media player, Winamp, iTunes, whatever. And if they're connected to the internet, it'll search to see if there is any new podcasts done by you. Simple and lazy media management. You can use a free account. There are some available. You've got Odeo and Podomatic.com, but do expect limitations, as you do with free accounts. A limited file size for each podcast, or you'll have a 10-second audio banner for each podcast that you do. They should be able to offer RSS feeds as well. RSS being really simple syndication, by the way. If you don't mind your podcast being part of a Creative Commons license where you are allowed to do whatever you like to it, and other people are allowed to do whatever they like to it, so long they credit you at the end of it. Plus, you get to become a part of internet history if you use the CC Publisher Program, all one word. Google it, it would be a good idea. It'll get published into the Internet Archive, archive.org, but I do believe that you don't get RSS feeds for it, so people will have to look manually. And CCC Publisher is a alpha beta release program, so it's not all that stable. So in the end, use it to your own risk and to your own effort. Final thing to do, advertise. It's no point just saying, I have a podcast, if there's no way of people knowing that you have one. Know that you will be in competition between podcasts that are already in the fun of things and those who will, hopefully, be inspired by your podcast and make their own. The final thing, and definitely the final thing, is to have fun. There's no point doing it if you're not going to have fun doing it. I mean, at the moment, I'm sitting down on a couch because it's the only quiet place without interference going into the microphone, with a sleeping cat next to me, which is my landlord's cat. A pretty calming atmosphere for 1:15 in the morning.